Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song this morning, as well as just the presence of God in this place. What a blessing it is when you come into the church and just know that you just sense the presence of God in this place. It's a place of refuge, and it's a place that God would have us to come every time the doors are open and receive what He has for us. So praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, and we're going to be reading verse 22 down to verse 26. Acts chapter 24, if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. If you're able to do that, as I read, you follow right along with me. Acts chapter 24, verse 22, the Bible says, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, 'When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter.' And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you today, what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. And thank you for what we've already experienced in just being assembled here together today. But now as we've opened up this precious holy word that you have preserved for us, that we might know the very mind of a creator God, pray God that you'd help us to open up our hearts and minds to receive that which you have for every individual here. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look here in Acts in chapter 24, Paul was standing before Felix, who would be the governor of Caesarea, and Paul is fulfilling God's call upon his life. He would have opportunities to preach to kings. In chapter 24, verses 10 through 21, Felix had heard Paul speak, but really had not listened to Paul, as thinking that Paul had a message from God. And then we find in verse 24, Felix comes back. And as he is back, he brings with him his Jewish wife, which no doubt would have had a better understanding of the Old Testament scriptures, would have had a better understanding of the promise of the Messiah. And so we find that as he comes back with his wife, he wanted to hear from Paul concerning Jesus Christ, the faith in Jesus Christ. Now, no doubt his wife had talked to him and she had told him about the prophecies of the Messiah, and that Paul could be instrumental in helping them to understand if this Jesus who Paul is preaching was actually the Messiah or not. And so now Felix comes with a different mindset. Partially, he still wanted other things from Paul, as we find there in verse 26. He was hoping that Paul would give him money and he would set him loose if he would just offer money. That would not take place. But Felix is back, and now he is listening to what Paul has to say concerning whether or not that this Jesus whom Paul was preaching, could he be the Messiah? Paul presents righteousness. In verse 25 there, as Paul starts speaking, he reasoned of righteousness. That would be wrong or right based upon God's word. How you're living, whether it be right or wrong, it's right if it's right with God. It's wrong if it's wrong, if it's against the word of God. And so Paul here would preach to him righteousness concerning what Jesus Christ had brought and what he had taught, right or wrong, how we live. He reasoned with him, or if he preached to him, temperance. The idea of temperance would be that of self-control, making personal decisions based on a free will. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ brought and he taught. And then judgment to come, the reality that everyone would give an account of themselves to God. They would all stand before an almighty creator God and give an account for their free will, decisions made in their life. And then we find, verse 25, and as he reasoned righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. That's important. I think I've got it outlined in my Bible. I think you underline it in your Bible. Felix, listening to Paul as of a message that would come from God concerning Jesus Christ. And when Paul was done preaching, if you will, Felix trembled. Now, he had not planned on trembling. He had not planned on Paul's message impacting him the way that it had impacted him. He's the governor of the land. He has authority. He has a position. Why should he tremble at the words of someone who had been arrested and locked up, who he had control over him living or dying? Staying in prison or being released. But Felix trembled. What is that? Felix came under the conviction of God's Holy Spirit. He didn't understand that. Paul would have understood that because it happened to Paul. Back in, let me just read this to you. In Acts chapter 9, we find Paul's conversion. And as he heard from Jesus Christ, he heard the message of Christ. In chapter 9 and verse 6, this is what it says about Paul. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" He did the same thing back when he came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. He trembled and he realized that this was the message that God had for him. And Paul surrendered. But he was trembling. Felix came under the very same conviction of God's Holy Spirit. Now, we know this because Jesus had prepared us for this. Jesus came and he revealed to the world exactly what would take place after he would be crucified, risen on the third day, and as he would ascend up to heaven. In the book of John in chapter 16, let me read it to you. You can write it down, go back and study these verses. But in John in chapter 16, as Jesus was revealing exactly what would take place when he would leave, we find in John chapter 16 and verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter, referring to the Holy Spirit of God that would dwell within every born-again believer, every person that would receive Jesus Christ would have the sealing of the Spirit of God. God would come in and seal them until the day of redemption, and he would be their Comforter. He would dwell within them, representing their Savior. And so he says here that, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's departed, and he has sent to the world the Holy Spirit of God. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will, if you will, convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Paul knew that. That's why he reasoned with him of these things. And as Paul reasoned with him of these things, he knew that because he was representing Christ and he was preaching the truth that Jesus Christ has brought to us and that the Holy Spirit was present, that he would come under conviction. The Holy Spirit would do his work. You see, when truth is presented and a decision is required, the Holy Spirit convicts. I've been doing this for about 2,000 years now. Because he wasn't here until Christ ascended. Jesus was the Comforter. He was the one that everyone looked at, but he was visible. He would send the Holy Spirit, who would be invisible. And he would be here as long as the church is here. When the church is raptured, he'll be taken out of the way. Yeah. God's Holy Spirit is in this world. Now, stop and think about that. That's so important for us to understand. God's Holy Spirit is in this world because Jesus sent him into this world. In the world that we live in, there is a spiritual kingdom that truly does exist. A spiritual kingdom that we cannot see. It's a different dimension. But it's real. Jesus would help them to somewhat be ready to understand this over in the book of John in chapter 3, as he was speaking to Nicodemus, and he wanted Nicodemus to understand about the spiritual kingdom. He said to Nicodemus in chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof." You ever heard the sound of the wind? "But canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And outside of looking at the results of the wind, you cannot see the wind. The wind is invisible, but the results of the wind can be seen. The Spirit of God cannot be seen. The spiritual kingdom that's of this world cannot be seen, but you can see the impact that it has. In a house, in your house, you see your family. You know, there's a lot of other things in your home that you don't want to acknowledge, but that's there. Do you know, in every home that I have ever been in, there's ants, especially when you leave food out. Where do those ants come from? It's getting about that time where about everybody's going to have to deal with ants coming out, and you have to spray for them, you have to do whatever. Here at the church, we have a problem with ants coming in because we have so many people leaving out food in junior church and Sunday school classes, and even in the adult classes. The ants are there. There's also spiders. I was sitting up in bed just this week when I was thinking about this, having this message, and I was just sitting up in bed reading, and all of a sudden something caught my eye, and it's a spider just kind of floating down from the ceiling. What are you doing in my house? Now, spiders need to be killed, amen. So I don't want to tell my wife that, so don't tell her. But she would not be able to sleep at night if she would have known that that spider had come down over our bed. You don't want to believe that they're there, but listen to me. Every house is going to have spiders. They live in the walls. They kind of sneak into cracks and crevices. There's even mice. Yeah. Well, there was no mice. Man, if you're anywhere around a field, there's field mice, and they're trying to get into your house, whether you know it or not. And you see those little droppings, and you don't want to believe that there's mice there, but if there's droppings, there's mice there. You don't see them. They have a way of hiding. But they're in your home. There's dust mites. I love it. I mean, those one businesses that come in and clean all your duct works out, and they magnify these dust mites, and you look like some kind of alien from outer space. And they're in your bed. They're blowing through the air, through your ventilation system. You don't want to acknowledge them, but they're there. There's microscopic living organisms that you can't see, but they're there. There could even be bed bugs. Yeah. There's mold, even in new homes. There's mildew. There's viruses, maybe even COVID, still in there. Better wear your mask when you're in a house. You got to protect yourself. You see, your house is more crowded than you realize. Yeah. Some things are hiding. Some things are invisible to the naked eye. This world, just because you can't see it, the Bible reveals there is a spiritual kingdom. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, let me read here in verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12, verse 13, it says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world. There's a spirit of the world which is of the devil. There's an evil influence in the world. You can't see demons. You can't see evil. You can see the results of it. You can see how it impacts the world, but you can't see evil spirits. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, the Jesus Christ sent, that's a part of the world that we live in today, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There is a spiritual kingdom in this world, and we are influenced by it, whether you realize it or not. And we had better open up our eyes and open up our understanding to realize we're not here in this world in and of ourselves. There is much more here. There is a spiritual kingdom. Satan was cast out of heaven, and he came to this earth, and this is the prince of the power of the air. He's here. Look at the evil in the world. Look at the evil in our own United States of America getting worse and worse because we are rejecting the Spirit of God. Luke in chapter 11, Jesus wanted us to know that Satan has a kingdom and it's here on this earth. In Luke in chapter 11, verse 17, Jesus says, but he knowing their thoughts said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? What was Jesus revealing to us? He's revealing that we need to be united and we need to live for Christ and follow after him. But there is another kingdom. There's another influence here. And he is not going to be divided. He has a very powerful influence. He has a very powerful evil kingdom. I don't know how powerful those ants might be in your house. I don't know how powerful those germs might be. I don't know how, but can I tell you, if you don't realize they're there, it's going to cause you problems, especially if they're termites. Yeah. What happened? What happened to Felix? He heard a spiritual message from Paul concerning Jesus Christ. He came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit because it demanded a response. It demanded a decision to be made. And he made a decision influenced by an evil spirit to reject the truth of God's Holy Spirit. There was a huge battle taking place here. There was a huge spiritual battle taking place. When under conviction, what can a person do? Paul received the conviction from God. He received the message. He repented of his former life. He repented of his sin. And he found forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Changed his life. But if he had not come under conviction, he would have never have repented. If he had not have repented, his life would not have changed. Felix rejected. You see, that's exactly what the devil will try to do. He'll try to get a person to reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit. to reject, there's a couple different things a person can do here. One of the things would be to harden your heart. To harden your heart. What happens when you harden your heart? What are you doing there? You block it out. You're coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and yet you don't want that conviction. And what you do is you just block it out. You still have a free will. You still have temperance to understand that you have a free will, and you will make the decision that you're going to make. And the thing of it is here, the decision you make is being influenced by something that you can't see. You're being influenced by a kingdom that you're possibly not even aware of. There is an evil spirit. There is an evil kingdom. There is a spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And when you hear, come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, you have a choice to make, and you're either going to receive or you're going to reject the very message of God. Happens all the time. I believe it happens every Sunday morning. I believe it happens every Sunday night. I believe it happens every Wednesday night. It happens every time you come under the preaching of the Word of God. You can harden your heart. The book of Proverbs addresses that. In the book of Proverbs, let me read to you chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. Bible says this, he that being often reproved, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reproves the world of sin. He convicts the world of sin. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. He says, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. And you harden your heart, if you will, shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. Because every time you reject the Spirit of God and you harden your heart toward the Spirit of God, you put a callus on your heart to the place that you no longer can sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And outside of sensing the conviction of the Spirit of God, you cannot repent of sin. Yeah. You can harden your heart. You can run. You can run from it. Jonah. God revealed to Jonah exactly what God wanted Jonah to do. And Jonah had a choice to make. And he tried to run from God's message. You can run like Jonah did. But you can't hide. You can stop going to a church that preaches the Bible where there's going to be conviction, and you can go to a place where you can attend and come as you are and leave as you were and never come under the conviction of the Spirit of God, because there's never any sin mentioned. Because everyone is basically a good person. And so we're not going to bring any kind of conviction. We're not going to preach the Word. We're not going to say what God wants us to say. We're just going to entertain. We want you to be religious and there be entertained. We don't want you to ever come under conviction and feel like that you have need to make a decision for Christ. And so we're not going to give an invitation. So why would you give an invitation if you don't want anyone to be convicted? We give an invitation here because we want you to be convicted. If you're not convicted at the church, you're not going to be convicted in the world. You need to understand the truth. You need to understand that there is a right and a wrong. There's righteousness and there's unrighteousness. If you're going to live righteously, you're going to have to turn away from unrighteousness. If you're going to live a life that's pleasing to God, you're going to have to turn away from sin. You can run. Leave the church. Try to find a more member friendly. There's a whole lot of them out there. Yeah, a lot of them. And you can do what Felix did. you can just put it off. Can I tell you, most people in independent fundamental Baptist churches, that's what you do. You just, not that you don't believe it, not that you don't know that you need to stop doing certain things, not that you don't know that you need to repent, but just not now. And you put it off, thinking there to be a more convenient season. Anybody ever done that? I guarantee you, every one of us, if you're saved, you've done that. And if you're not saved, it's possibly because you just keep putting it off. Keep putting it off. Who do you think's influencing that decision? There's a spiritual kingdom. There's a spirit of the devil, and there's a spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus sent, that's a part of this world and will continue to be here to reprove the world of sin. And he meets with us. He meets with us. And he empowers the preaching of the Word of God. And he does something that only he can do. Convict you. Convict me. And when that conviction takes place, I've got a decision to make. What are the consequences of your decisions? There's always consequences to every decision we make. This possibly being the most important decision that anyone will ever make. For the lost, it's rejecting salvation. What sends a person to a devil's hell? Rejection of salvation. God has done everything that he can do in still allowing us to have a free will. He has made it so simple. He has made salvation so simple that a child of the age of accountability can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen. A teenager can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. A young adult can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. A senior citizen can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Listen to me, God has made it so simple that anybody, whosoever will, can call upon the name of the Lord. That's all you got to do. You can be saved. And so many won't do it. So many fail to do it. Jesus addressed it in John in chapter 8, and he said this in verse 24. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If a person dies in their sins because the wages of sin is death, that's eternal damnation. But the gift of God is everlasting life, eternal life. But it's based upon your decision. The consequences of rejecting is spending eternity in hell. The blessings of receiving is having everlasting life. Why would anybody reject. What are the consequences? Life, death. For the Christian, even. You see, the Spirit of God doesn't stop convicting once you get saved. He is living inside of you, and He convicts you all day long if you need it. Amen. Once you receive Him, then He's within you, and He's part of your makeup. He dwells within you, and He convicts you every day. He convicts you every moment if you have need of that. And as He convicts you, then it is a desired response is to yield and repent and get back to living as God would have you to live. Yeah. Or face the consequences as a believer who rejects the Holy Spirit, which is chastisement. The chastisement from a loving Heavenly Father. Wow. So we go back to our text here as we're closing this morning. Paul comes. God's timing is always the best time. There would not be a more convenient season. And as he reasoned with Felix, righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, conviction fell upon Felix. He has opportunity now to be saved. He understands it. He just heard it. He has opportunity to be saved. But he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." Whenever God convicts, there's never going to be a more convenient time. It might be the last. I believe for Felix, it would have been the last. He never come back. The Bible doesn't say anything about him. He called for Paul. Never come under that conviction. He hardened his heart. He was eventually taken out of that position that he had, never to be heard from again. As far as we know, Felix died in his sin and is in a place of eternal hell today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 2, "I have heard thee in a time accepted. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There's never going to be a better time than when God chooses to convict your heart. Is that time today? Have you hardened your heart? Have you tried to run? Won't you just yield? Understand where the conviction's coming from and call upon the name of the Lord while you still have an opportunity to do so. If I could have every head bowed this morning, every eye closed. Are you trembling? Do you sense the Holy Spirit of God convicting? I'm looking out. I can't tell you. That's between you and God. I've done my part. I've preached the word. If you will, I have reasoned righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And I believe the Spirit of God is here, and I believe He is convicting those that need to be convicted. But it's your decision. But with your decision comes consequences. Make the right one today. Choose Christ. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord, and I thank you for this passage of Scripture that reveals clearly your plan for souls to be saved. And I pray, God, that you would meet with each and every one here today that's here in this auditorium or that's coming under the influence of this message. I pray, God, as they sense that Holy Spirit conviction, that they would not put it off any longer, but they would make whatever decision that you would have them to make and be drawn closer to you. Work here in our midst today. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.